At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
You're listening to the Food Freedom Life Podcast. My name is Brittany Allison, and I spent 6+ years stuck in diet binge cycles, hating my body and envying others who seem to have it all because I never felt enough. What I discovered in my journey to food freedom and becoming a registered dietitian is this. You can either live your life at war with your mind or learn to work in sync with it. So if you're ready to learn how to be in tune with yourself and evolve your life, welcome to the show. Welcome back to another episode of the Food Freedom Life Podcast. It's been a little nuts over here. I'm not going to lie to you. I feel like, we're over a week into April and I actually don't know where the time is going. I feel like every day goes by so quickly. The weeks go by so quickly and it's been hard to take a breath, honestly, which is good in a lot of ways because it means that I'm seeing clients, I'm helping people, I'm doing what I love, but it's also like, oh my gosh, where the heck is life going? So if you're feeling the same way, you're not alone. Let's just take this time as you're listening to this podcast to slow down for a minute. Just take a breath, do something for you, and take a break from it all. In other exciting, completely unrelated news, I'm getting a cat and I'm so excited. If you're one of my clients, you've probably heard me talk about this because I actually can't shut up about it. I'm getting a cat. We are getting a cat, I should say. It's not just me. It's my husband too. And Archie's cat too, of course. I've always wanted a cat. This is something that ever since I was a little kid, my childhood best friend growing up, her family had a cat and he was just so adorable. He was an outdoor cat and I loved him so much. He was so sweet and so cuddly. My other best friend, her family had a cat. Coincidentally, they're both orange cats, which also made me love orange cats. And the cat that I'm going to get is an orange cat. Unfortunately, I come from a family of not pet people for various reasons, but I am a pet person. So I'm really happy that we're adding to the family. And this cat, it's kind of extra. It's very extra, but it's a hypoallergenic cat because Adrian is allergic. He's also allergic to Archie, actually. Fun fact, he takes 2 reactants every single day. We have air purifiers. And so we're getting a hypoallergenic cat. We're getting a Siberian cat, which again, I know is so extra to get a purebred cat. If I could have rescued a cat, I absolutely would have. Siberian rescues don't really exist. It's really hard to know if it's actually a Siberian cat, if it's just a long hair cat. So anyhow, we're getting a purebred Siberian cat. It's been born. They're so cute. There's 4 cats in the litter. I don't know which one we're going to get yet. There's one that I really like. It's kind of stripey, but I want to know the personalities first before we get one. So I'm so excited. It should be happening kind of in July. We'll be able to get the cat. So stay tuned for more cat content because it is coming, but I'm already starting to look into kitten-proofing the apartment and what we can do to help minimize the risk of any allergies, even though they are supposed to be allergy-free. I mean, there's no guarantee that it's going to be 100% allergy-free. So anyhow, there's my cat rant. I hope you're as excited as I am. I mean, or at least close. But if you're ready for kitty content, make sure to go over and follow me on Instagram if you're not already, because there is going to be kitty content on there. Today, I wanted to address a topic that surprisingly I haven't talked about in a dedicated episode on the podcast, which is surprising because this is something that I talk about with every single client that I have. And that is the question of, should I stop weighing myself? Should I get rid of my scale? And I think this is a really hard one for a lot of people to wrap their head around, this idea that maybe the scale is not actually their ally in their journey towards health and feeling better about themselves. Maybe it's actually working against them. And so that's really what I want to get into today, is just this question of, like, should I ditch the scale? Why you feel so attached to it? What it's doing to help you? What it's doing to hurt you? The fears around not weighing yourself and how to actually take that first step in ditching the scale and learning to live without it, because we got to learn how to do that. We can't just get rid of it and feel like a fish out of water. We have to know how to handle it without relying on the scale as a measure of progress. And with this conversation, I think it's really important to note that weighing yourself is not an inherently unhealthy behavior. Weighing yourself can absolutely be helpful. At the end of the day, it is meant to be neutral. It's not meant to be something that holds so much emotional charge. It's not meant to be something that you use the number as a weapon against yourself. It's not meant to dictate your emotions or your behaviors, but it's become that. Right? The number on the scale has become so inherently tied to your worth and how you feel about yourself. And that's really where the issues come in. But like I said, weight can sometimes be helpful. You know, if you all of a sudden have unexplained or unintentional weight loss, that can be a sign of a larger health issue. That can be a sign of cancer because there are large fluid shifts that happen in your body when your body is fighting cancer. And so sometimes a scale can be helpful. And I mean, hey, in pregnancy, they're also going to want to weigh you. If you are on certain medications, it's based on weight. So you're going to need to be weighed. If you're going under anesthesia, it is important to know your weight in order to know the dosing. But it starts to get really sticky when we get into this place of using weight as the sole way to measure progress, because that's where we start to focus too much on the numbers and too little on all of the things that are happening around the numbers, right? It's when we get obsessive. This is where it's an issue. I think it's also really important to note too that weight doesn't explain your body composition, right? The scale only tells a part of the picture. If you are going to the gym or if you're lifting weights, if you're resistance training, you very well might be gaining muscle and you might be really frustrated if the scale is not going down. You might feel like, oh my gosh, this isn't worth it. What am I even doing? I'm not making any progress. Where in reality, you are getting stronger, you're feeling good, you're feeling more capable, you're empowered when you lift weights, but you're disappointed because the scale is not moving. The scale also doesn't see your internal health, right? You might see a number and you might go online and calculate your BMI, for example, and you might say, oh my gosh, I'm overweight, or oh my gosh, I'm obese. That scale, that number doesn't actually tell you your health and what's going on. It doesn't tell you if your blood glucose is under control, if your cholesterol is in range. It doesn't tell you any of these things. It doesn't tell you how you actually feel on a daily basis. It doesn't see your internal health. It doesn't see some of these more subjective pieces as well. The number on the scale is one part of a puzzle of a lot of other pieces, but when we become so focused on the number, when we become so entrenched in diet culture and we're weighing ourselves regularly, we forget about all these other pieces, or they don't seem as important, right? The scale becomes number one and everything else is like, yeah, okay, that's fine, that's nice to have, but that number is what I want to see go down. That number is what I want to see improve. And again, that is where we really want to reassess our relationship with the scale, take a step back from it, and recognize that it's kind of just playing mind games with us and it's not really helping us. And I don't want your takeaway from this episode to be like, oh, I have to stop using the scale. Brittany said so, and that's the only way forward. No. What I want to do here is share information with you to help you reflect on your relationship with the scale, how it impacts you, how it impacts your self-worth, how you view yourself, how your behaviors change as a result of the scale, so that you for yourself can decide, does it make sense for me to continue weighing myself? Does this feel healthy? Does this feel like it's supportive of my sustainable health journey? Does this feel like it's helping my mental health? And make a decision for yourself about whether you want to continue weighing yourself, how often you want to weigh yourself, and so on. Because again, like if I'm just telling you to do it, that's just another external way that you are relying on someone else to make decisions for you. It's another rule. I don't want to create more rules for you. I want you to decide for yourself what feels good and what feels supportive, and for you to take that empowered step to make a decision about that for you based on all the information. So let's get into it. I think the first thing to start considering if you are stepping on the scale with any sort of regularity is what happens after you step on it. What happens if you like what you see, right? If you step on and you like the number, how do you change your day based on that? Do you reward yourself for seeing that number lower? Do you say, oh, I'm going to take a rest day now, or, oh, I'm going to go get a treat. I'm going to go reward myself and get ice cream because I've been so good and the number on the scale is showing that. Really, what I want you to ask yourself is, am I making a decision that I wouldn't have made if I hadn't stepped on the scale in the first place? And you might be thinking, well, oh, if it's a positive thing, if I'm allowing myself to take a rest day or I'm allowing myself to get ice cream, wouldn't that be a positive thing? Wouldn't that be a good thing that I'm doing, right? To show that I've worked hard and I'm validating myself for that. I understand where you're coming from with that, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with taking a rest day or going to get ice cream. The problem really lies when those behaviors become contingent on your weight going down or the number on that scale changing in a way that you want it to. Because what you're essentially reinforcing for yourself is that it's not okay to do these things if my weight is not where I want it to be, if I don't see the number on the scale go down. And that's a really dangerous mindset to be in, because you need rest days. And hey, sometimes you're gonna want ice cream. And if you take a rest day or if you have ice cream when the number on the scale isn't going down, that can bring immense guilt because you created this reward type relationship with it. That's what we really want to avoid. And so I think that's the first thing that I want you to check in about is, am I making a decision that I wouldn't have if I hadn't stepped on the scale? And this goes for the flip side of things too. This also goes if you're changing your behavior from a place of punishment if the number on the scale goes up, or if maybe it stays the same, right? Are you skipping meals? Are you restricting yourself? Are you working out more or working out for longer than you would have if the scale hadn't been up, right? I can reflect on this from my own personal experience. I mean, the scale used to really dictate my behaviors throughout the day. If the number on the scale was down, I would feel so good about myself and I would feel like I could loosen the reins a little bit that day. But here's the thing about loosening the reins when you are heavily restricting yourself is it often leads to a binge. And that is really what I experienced, is that I would binge my face off if I saw the number on the scale go down, because I'd feel like, oh, I can take a little bit of a break. I don't need to maybe track as much today, or I don't need to be as meticulous. Maybe I don't need to use my food scale, or I can have that extra treat. But then I would feel so out of control with that. I would feel so bad and so guilty and so shameful about that, that it would just lead me to go, oh, screw it. Like, I'll just start over tomorrow. Honestly, same thing with if the scale went up, if I saw that number go up, I would feel so bad about myself. I would feel like, what am I even doing? What's the point? It's not even working. Obviously, I'm failing. I can't do anything right. So screw it. Doesn't matter. I'm just going to binge and whatever. It would always influence how I felt about myself. And even if I didn't binge, my mindset, my mental health that day would be so impacted. It would change the way that I viewed myself. Even if, like, okay, from one day to the next, if there's no change in the scale or if the scale went up a little bit, I mean, realistically, that's just a natural fluctuation that you're experiencing. But because that changed how I perceived myself, my body image would be awful. I would view myself in such a negative way. I would beat myself up constantly. I'd be thinking about my body so much. It would take me away from being present in my day, in my life. And that's not okay, right? If it's changing your behaviors, if it's changing the way you're thinking about yourself, this is a sign that you're in a bad place with the scale, right? And it gets into disordered behaviors really quickly when you're allowing the scale, or when the scale is, you're not even allowing it, but when it's just happening, that it's influencing your behaviors. This is a red flag that we are in disordered territory and we're not in a good place. If you're stepping on the scale, it's leading to any specific emotion that changes your behavior, it might be time to take a break. And as you're working on having a better relationship with food and your body, you want to think about food less, you don't want to obsess over it, you don't want to be in that restrict and binge cycle anymore, you just want to feel more neutral about everything, whether eating or body image and how you feel about how you look, you just want to be more neutral. We want to shift as much as we can from relying on external sources to tell us what to do, when to do it, how much we need to do, and focus on having more internal markers and internal motivators for those things. And the scale is one of those pieces that it really does have you shift to an external marker for when, what, how much to do something, right? Even though, of course, that number that it's spitting out at you is the gravitational pull that you have on this earth. It is your weight at that specific moment in time based on that particular scale, because we know they can all be a little bit different and they all have their own little quirks. It is still something that is external to you, right? You don't just like check in with your body and you know the number that you're at. You have to look at this other tool, this scale, to tell you that number. And therefore, it is external to you, even though it is your weight. It tells you nothing about how you feel, right? Some of those more internal markers for how you're doing and what to do and when to do it and how much to do it. And I think that's really where that relationship with the scale, especially if you're weighing yourself really often, if you're weighing yourself, you know, every day, which I know certain diets like Noom, for example, has you do. It has you check in with your weight every single day, which a whole other can of worms. We can talk about that another time, but it consistently and regularly shifts your focus away from how is my body actually doing? How am I actually feeling? If I did a body scan right now and checked in with these different parts of myself, not just physically, but also mentally and emotionally, what would come up? What would I notice? What information would I get? We are immediately ripped away and disconnected from all of that when we're focusing on the number on the scale. And I think we can really see this as an example. If you ever are feeling really good and you're like, yeah, I've been, you know, feeling really good about what I'm eating. I've been like listening to my body. I'm doing all these things. I'm exercising. I'm getting my steps in. I'm going for walks, whatever, whatever. I'm going to sleep at a good time. I'm drinking water. And then you step on the scale and it tells you a number that you don't want. It's like you just erase all of those positive things. They feel worthless. They don't feel helpful. They don't feel valid. They don't feel real. That proudness that you were feeling of yourself for how you are doing and feeling immediately goes into the garbage. And that's not cool. Like, that's not right. That's not fair. That's not reality either, right? Those things don't just get discredited. They don't not count because of the number that you see on the scale not aligning with what you think it should be or what you want it to be. And that is really where, again, we are in a toxic relationship with the scale and we need to take some space from it. But of course, with taking some space from the scale, there are a lot of fears that can come up around that, around not weighing yourself every day or every week or every 2 weeks or whatever frequency you currently do it at. There can be a lot of fear around that. One that I hear most commonly with my clients is this fear that I'm going to gain weight if I don't continue to monitor my weight so closely. I'm going to spiral out of control. I'm going to lose control with food. My weight is going to just keep going up and up and up and up. And that feels really scary. And I think it's really important to recognize what is weighing yourself every single day doing to not only your weight, but also to your behaviors and your thought processes about yourself. Chances are that weight that you are exposing yourself to constantly is likely not keeping you in check when it comes to food in a lot of ways. It could be contributing to binges. It could be contributing to emotional eating. It could be contributing to night eating. It could be contributing to impulsive and mindless behaviors with food. Relying on that scale is not the thing that's bringing you control with food at all. In fact, it's contributing to the dysfunction with food. And so this fear, of course, I mean, you're in a habit, right? You're in a habit of weighing yourself constantly. You know what that's like. You know the routine of it. And it does give you some sense of direction, of course. It feels like, okay, this tells me what I should do. But we got to look at the expectation versus reality here. And is it actually dictating your behaviors in a positive way? Is it dictating your thoughts in a positive way, right? Again, what happens to your body image and how you feel about yourself when you step on that scale? Maybe it gives you that validation for a second, but maybe it also spirals you. Maybe it does both within the matter of an hour. You know, it's important to just take a step back from it and recognize this scale is not actually giving me control right now. You know, yes, on one hand, It might confirm, okay, yeah, I'm feeling good. And like, this is why. It might give you a mood boost. It might give you a sense of value and validation. But it's kind of this like crapshoot where it can make things worse. It dictates your day. It creates more chaos. It creates a lot of self-blame and punishment. And wanting to step on the scale is really just a sign of flag waving that you're looking for control. And I think what's really interesting is that when other things in your life feel chaotic and feel overwhelming and feel like I don't have a grip on these, scale can almost be this last ditch effort to grab control of something. And the question to really ask yourself is, do I need the scale to find control? And if you don't know the answer to that, that's okay. But I'm telling you that the answer to that is no. You do not need that number to tell you what to do. Another way you can find control is actually to check in with yourself, to pause and slow down for a second and just ask, how am I feeling physically, mentally, emotionally? What's going on with my body? What's going on in my life? What's going on with my feelings? And that is a hard question to ask, right? Those are hard things to explore. It's a lot easier to step on the scale and get a number and have it tell you what to do. It's a lot harder to check in with yourself. But I'm telling you that once you start to practice this, once you implement this behavior, once you use that urge to step on the scale as a way to notify yourself that, hey, I need a bit of a check-in, everything is going to change for you, I promise. Because you, again, you can get so much helpful information from your body that you just cannot get from the scale. Because maybe you're feeling a little bit out of control. You're feeling kind of like, ugh, I feel like crap. And so I need to like know how I'm doing. But okay, if we actually just paused and checked in and you ask yourself, how am I feeling physically? And you do a little bit of a check-in. You're just like, okay, how's my head feeling? Do I have a headache? Am I thirsty? How's my stomach feeling? Oh, okay. I'm actually feeling kind of bloated. I don't feel very great in my stomach area right now. What do I need? When I feel bloated, what helps me? What do I need to support me? If you're feeling bloated, maybe you need to drink some water. Maybe you need to put on comfy clothes. Maybe you need to make some peppermint tea or some fennel tea to help with digestion. Maybe you need to take some Pepto-Bismol. Get the heating pad or hot water bottle. Maybe you need to go for a short walk. Maybe you need to eat some high fiber food with your next meal. Maybe you need to do a little bit of stretching to kind of help massage your stomach area. You can't get any of that information from the scale, but you can get it from checking in with yourself and with your body. Or maybe you're feeling really stressed and really overwhelmed in life. Maybe you ask that question, what do I need? And you don't have the perfect answer, but you're like, all right, when I'm feeling really stressed, I know that I like to get outside a little bit. I know that I like to talk to somebody about it and just reach out to a friend. And even if I don't talk exactly about this thing, I just like to hear from somebody and know that I'm not alone. We can't get any of this from the scale. But learning how to do this and learning how to check in with yourself and learning what do I need to support me when I'm feeling whatever way I'm feeling, whether physically, mentally, or emotionally, that's what helps you have real control. That's what helps you have sustainable control in your life. The scale cannot do that for you. I promise that you can do it for yourself. And if you're like, okay, I'm buying this now, I'm on board, I feel like I do need to maybe take a little bit of break, take a little bit of space from the scale, but you're like, how am I supposed to know if I'm making progress? Well, I think learning how to do that check-in first and foremost and getting more natural at it is a really great indicator of progress. But I think there are some other much more helpful non-scale victories. And I know non-scale victories is typically like a very diety term of, you know, oh, like, are my measurements going down or are my clothes looser, that kind of thing. And I'm not saying that those are bad to keep track of either. But again, if there's obsession around it, we need to take a break from it. But when I refer to non-scale victories, I more so mean like, hey, how are your lab values? When's the last time you got blood work done? And how are those values? How are we maybe taking action on some of them? If your glucose levels are off, if your liver values are off, your cholesterol levels are off, or if your blood pressure is off, are we maybe taking steps to remedy those? And we are focusing on your behaviors and we're seeing improvement in those. That is amazing. Like, if you are insulin resistant and you start to see progress in how your body is able to manage your blood sugars, I mean, your weight does not have to change in order to be able to make that progress and to see that. And that is like, that feels so good. And that is really going to benefit your long-term health and how your body is in, you know, 20, 30 years. You're healing from the inside out, and that's completely separate from the scale. Maybe if you are working out or participating in movement, if you're able to lift heavier or do more reps, or you feel stronger, or you have better endurance, you're not huffing and puffing as much, that's a wonderful non-scale victory that has nothing to do with the number that you see. If you feel like you have better brain function, if you're able to focus better and concentrate better, hey, the scale cannot tell you those things. If you're feeling so brain foggy all the time and like you can't concentrate or focus without procrastinating, if you're able to do that better, fantastic. That improves your quality of life in so many ways than just the number on the scale going down cannot. If you're managing your stress better, that's great too. That has nothing to do with the scale. If your digestion is better, if you, you know, were dealing with constipation or diarrhea or bloating, what have you, and you're feeling better about those things, you're feeling more regular, that's all more regulated. Amazing. That's so good. And that helps you feel so much better too, right? And that might not be reflected in the scale. If you're able to better tune into your hunger and fullness, that also feels so freaking good. I can't even tell you when you are able to know when you're gently hungry and stop when you're feeling comfortably full. That is such a good feeling when you feel less tied to food, when you're feeling less obsessive over it. The scale can't tell you any of those things, but all of these things impact how you feel on a daily basis and impact in the bigger picture how you feel about yourself. And so start tapping into some of those non-scale victories that are much more about how you feel than what a number says. Although I know, hey, lab values are a number, but again, it's shifting away from the number on the scale. And so how do we do this? Well, I personally am a fan of the cold turkey method and just getting rid of the scale once and for all, getting it out of the house. But I know that that also can feel really scary. I mean, for me personally, that's how I did it. I just totally like got rid of it. I was getting rid of some clothes that like no longer fit. And I'm like, these only fit me when I was in my highest period of restriction. I was at my smallest. I am not going to be that size anymore. And I got rid of the scale at that time because I was like, still having this kind of on and off toxic relationship with it where I wouldn't weigh for a long time, but I still just wasn't in a place to be weighing myself and seeing that number. And but then, you know, my curiosity would get the better of me and I would step on it and feel really bad about myself. And then the same kind of pattern would happen. So I was like, okay, I just need to not have this in the house. I cannot have the temptation. I need to get rid of it. And that for me was really, really helpful. Of course, it felt like I was missing an appendage at different times, but ultimately it helped me again focus on those internal cues and those internal measures of success and how I was feeling and how I was doing in a way that the scale was really interfering with. If you don't feel ready to get it out of the house completely and do the cold turkey method, I would definitely recommend getting it out of sight. Like if it's sitting on your bathroom floor right now, put it in the vanity cupboard, put it in a closet, just get it out of sight, out of mind, so that every time you go into the bathroom or into your bedroom or wherever you keep it, you're not just visually seeing it and it's providing that visual cue. Put it away, get it somewhere else. If maybe it's helpful, I've definitely had clients have their partners hide it somewhere in the house so that like, because maybe, you know, their partner weighs themselves or what have you, there's, you know, some other reason that they need to have a scale in the house, but they don't want to be tempted by it all the time. So they have their partner hide it. I think that works really well too. So, you know, it really just depends on what feels good for you. But I think what's really important, if you aren't going to go cold turkey with it, is to set a boundary with yourself. If you're weighing yourself every day, hey, maybe go to every 3 days or once a week. If you're weighing yourself once a week, maybe try for every other week. Just space it out a little bit more so that it's not happening as often, because what you're going to also do and what you're going to learn in that time that you're not weighing yourself every single day or every single week is how to tune into those internal cues, how to trust yourself more, how to measure success in a different way, right? And as you build more trust with yourself, you're going to also feel more comfortable weighing yourself less and less until you actually feel like, hey, maybe I can get rid of the scale, or maybe I feel more neutral about it. It's really up to you. And I think it's really important to just be honest with yourself about it. And again, remember that if you have set this boundary with yourself that, hey, I'm only going to do it, you know, every week or every other week or whatever, if you notice the urge to weigh yourself in between, to go back to what we talked about and remember that, oh, this is a sign that I'm looking for some control in some way. How am I doing? Can I pause? Can I check in? How am I doing mentally, physically, emotionally? Use it as an opportunity to just see how you're doing. I know that it's hard when you go to the doctor, though. They still want to weigh you. And if you're on this journey, they might not know that, right? First of all. And sometimes, again, like what I said earlier, you have to. Some medications require your weight. If you're going under anesthesia, if you're pregnant, you're going to need to be weighed. But you can ask to not see the number. You can ask to not be told the number. That's super important. Do not forget that. That is 100% within your rights. I know it might sound like it's really awkward to ask that. It might feel weird to ask that. Chances are other people are doing it at your doctor's office too. This is not something that is abnormal. I promise you that. They are obligated to respect your wishes when it comes to this. And so you have the power to advocate for yourself. And I think it's actually a really important piece in your food freedom journey to learn to advocate for yourself and your needs in these ways. And so I know it might seem scary, but at the end of the day, like, it's not going to go horribly wrong. It's not going to be a disaster. The worst they can say is no, but legally they can't say no. So do yourself a favor and ask to either not be weighed or ask to not see the weight. Step on backwards, look at the ceiling, do what you have to do. You do not need to know that number. So that's all I have for today, everybody. I hope this was helpful for you. I would love if you shared maybe some of your non-scale victories with me, or if you shared your experience of getting rid of the scale or any challenges that you've had with it. I love to hear it and support you through it. And if you want more content like this, more conversations like this, and more support through your journey, the doors to the Empowered Eaters Collective community is open. Inside, we have weekly calls every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern, unlimited support, self-paced courses, and more. I'd love to see you in there. And even better, it's only $60 a month. You can join anytime and cancel anytime. And I promise you'll be so happy that you tried this out, because it's such a wonderful group of women. I absolutely love this community. I love the coaching calls that we do every single week. It really is just so amazing to see everybody's progress and the connection and community formed around having a better relationship with food and body image and leaving diet culture behind. Head over to brittanycoreyrd.com/membership for more info and to get started today. Thank you so much for tuning in, everybody. If you haven't left a rating or review, please, please, please do so. That helps me get this message out to more people, helps more people listen to this podcast. See you next time. Bye.